back to InfoTrack. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
Quitting any addiction isn't easy. Some are very hard to quit, requiring ongoing care to avoid a relapse. Recent research looked into the complex challenges of ending an addiction. InfoTrack's Gina Tedesco has the story. Gina?
Thanks, Chris. And we're pleased to have Rafaela Fontes, a research scientist with the Fralin Biomedical Research Institute at VTC. That's a partnership between Virginia Tech and the Carilion Clinic in Roanoke, Virginia. She's first author on a study on how the experience of stopping substance abuse differed across different substances. Dr. Fontes, your study collected data from 421 people who had used a variety of substances, from hallucinogens to cigarettes to pain medicines and more. Which substances were hardest to quit and which were easiest?
In that study, what we found was that opioids and pain medications were the harder substance to quit, meaning that they require more quit attempts than other substances such as hallucinogens. Hallucinogens was the one with the lowest number of quit attempts and the one that was easiest to quit.
And do we know why these pain meds and opioids are much harder to quit compared to the other substances?
One of the things is that opioids and pain medications, they cause a much stronger physical dependence. They are associated with more severe withdrawal symptoms. So people feel physically sick whenever they don't take those drugs. While with hallucinogens, for example, those physical withdrawal symptoms are not so severe or not present. So that would be one of the possible reasons why substances such as opioids and pain medications are harder or more difficult to quit, just because they cause all of this severe symptoms and withdrawals and make the people feel physically sick.
What about alcohol? Where did this fall on, shall we say, the continuum of difficulty to kick the habit and kick it for good?
Yeah, that's a great question. Alcohol was one of the substances that was in the middle, so was closer to the harder one, but not as hard as opioids, but definitely harder than hallucinogens or even cannabis, for example. So alcohol is kind of like in the middle.
Is it likely that experts can look at the forces or factors that make it easier to quit hallucinogens and apply that knowledge to help people quit other substances?
Yes, this could be one way to start understanding or like breaking down this issue. And what can we learn from the easiest substance and how can we apply that to the more difficult ones? And on the other hand, also like what makes the more difficult ones so difficult and how can we make it easier for the people that are going through this?
What about people who have a more severe or longer history of substance abuse? Do they find it harder to kick their habits?
Yes, that was another interesting finding from this study, that people with more severe addiction, they require more attempts to quit than those that have a mild or less severe addiction or less time of use. So severity is definitely something that plays a role in how hard or how easy it is to quit.
Does sustained substance abuse, at least with some substances, actually change a person's physiology to the point that it makes it really hard for them to kick the habit?
Yeah, that might play a role. We typically look more at the behavioral level. So one thing that we have observed in other researchers from the center here is that addiction changes decision-making processes. So the way that people make choices is different when they have an addiction and when they don't have an addiction. So definitely the experience with the drug and with the substance might change, you know, the neuroprocessing of information, the decision making, and the physiology also.
We're visiting with Rafaela Fontes, a research scientist with the Fralin Biomedical Research Institute at VTC. That's a partnership between Virginia Tech and the Carilion Clinic in Roanoke, Virginia. The journal Drug and Alcohol Dependence published their study looking at the difficulty of quitting substance abuse for good. I know that one goal is to take lessons from this research and improve treatment for addicts. Can you give us an example or two of how your information might improve treatment, or are we a little too early for that?
Yeah, I think there are some insights that we can gain from this research. The first one is very clear that we cannot treat addiction as an acute disorder. It's not a one and done kind of thing. We need to approach addiction the same way that we do with a chronic disorder or a chronic disease. So addiction requires continued care. And that is the first insight from the research. The second point is that addiction is not a one-size-fits-all, so treatment really needs to be personalized. Treatment approaches need to recognize that each substance has a distinct clinical profile, recovery trajectory, and resolution process. So we cannot treat all addictions as if they are the same kind of problem, and we need to really take into consideration all of those details and personalization to really make the treatment more effective.
And did your study shed light on the factors that affect relapse?
So the factors that affect relapse, according to our research, was, well, the substance is one that is going to impact, depending on what you're addicted to, you're going to relapse more or less times. And the severity, those were the factors that we observed in this study in particular.
Now, for all the people in your study, I understand the average time for not using the substance before relapsing was more than 7 years. Was that a surprisingly long time?
I'm not sure if I would say surprising, because those are people that are part of a recovery registry. So people that we've been following for several years and that have been in this recovery journey for a long time. But it is very surprising that people have been able to maintain abstinence for so long, especially considering that addiction is a chronically relapsing disorder. The fact that in this registry, we have people that have not used substances for more than 5-7 years, it is really amazing.
So that's a warning, I think, for those who have had substance abuse, that they may not be out of the woods even after 7 years. There may be triggers that will send them back into use. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, we can never know how long it might take until you relapse. It might be really soon after you start your recovery trajectory. It might take several years. You might be good and then relapse might come and knock on your door. So we can never really predict when it's going to happen, but it is part of the process.
No matter what substance someone's using, talk about why early intervention is important.
Early intervention is really important because, as this research showed, the severity of the disorder really impacts the number of attempts or how many times a person is going to relapse. So that says that if we can intervene early and prevent the escalation of, you know, the severity of the disorder, we might be able to prevent or reduce the number of attempts that a person needs before fully overcoming their addiction.
And finally, concerning people trying to quit, what helpful information should they take away from your study?
I think the most helpful thing might be that they need to be patient and resilient, that relapse and, you know, failing is part of the process. You just need to keep trying and eventually you're going to get there. We know that addiction is a chronically relapsing disorder, even though sometimes we don't treat that way or don't approach that way. So knowing that this is all part of the process, everyone is going through the same thing and is not a linear process, can really reframe the expectation and help them not feel discouraged whenever a relapse happens. So if a person is going through this process right now, just know that it's okay and it might take a few attempts before you eventually get there.
A very hopeful message. Very nice. Rafaela Fontes, thank you for joining us today and good luck with all your future research.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
For InfoTrack, I'm Gina Tedesco.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.